Friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So growing up, I didn't know that my living situation was unique because it was all I knew. But from the time that I was a little baby until the time I was in middle school, I lived in the town of San Ysidro. How many of you all know where that is? Okay, good number of you. Okay. Well, San Ysidro is the last town in California before you enter into Mexico. From where I lived, it was a 20-minute walk to the border crossing and just a stone's throw from the border wall itself. In fact, I can still close my eyes and see in my mind not only the border wall, but the Tijuana hillside. And there's all kinds of interesting things that happen when you live in a border town, like having my grandmother jailed because she wouldn't turn anyone away who was hungry, or having a cousin arrested and charged with helping illegal immigrants evade Border Patrol. He was innocent that time. But what I actually cherished the most wasn't the location, but the amount of people that lived together. See, the San Ysidro house, it belonged to my grandma Mary, and she was a strong woman of fervent prayer. She had a strong sense of right and wrong, and she was generous, especially with her home. She allowed my father to turn the unused detached garage into a home for us. This place, it was only about 600 square feet, but we had two rooms, a bathroom, a kitchen, and a living room that he built by himself. As she was generous with us, she was generous with everyone. At one point, we had two uncles living in trailers in the courtyard, along with three families living in the main house with her. And then at some point in time, there was actually somebody, I don't remember who it was, I even asked my father and he didn't remember. We had somebody living in a van in the driveway. Plus, there was a steady stream of people who just walked into the main house whenever they wanted because there was no locks on the doors. And you know what? I loved it. I absolutely loved being there. In our gospel reading today, Jesus tells his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there is many dwelling places." And when I need a scripture that brings me comfort about the kind of place that Jesus is going or to prepare when his kingdom come and his will is done, I think of this scripture. I think of my grandma's house in which there was many dwelling places. Friends, we have a God who calls us to believe that in the end, everything is going to be okay. Whatever hardships we endure now with family and friends in our own body at work, they will not last forever. Jesus tells us, "I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again and I will take you to myself so that where I am, there you may be also." The Creator of all that is seen and all that is unseen says that he's going to come for you. not in judgment, not in condemnation, but in love. And he's going to take you into his house, into a place that he's prepared just for you. John Henry Newman, he wrote an evening prayer in which expresses well this whole spirit of how we as Christians are called to see the present in light of the place that Jesus is preparing for us in the future. This is what he prays. He says, "Support us, O God, all the long day of this troubled life, until the shadows lengthen and the evening comes, when the busy fever of life is hushed and the work is done. Then in thy mercy, grant us a safe lodging, a holy rest, and peace at last through Jesus Christ our Lord." See, in this life, we ask for support, and in the next life, we are promised rest. And it's only Jesus who's able to offer those things, because only he is the way, the truth, and the life. You all know that I'm a fan of Peanuts, the comic strip. Well, one of my favorite Peanuts comics is a conversation between Lucy and Linus. And Lucy and Linus, they're looking out the window really, really hard, and it's raining, it's just downpouring on the other side. And Lucy says, "Wow, look at it rain. What if it floods the whole world again?" And Linus, he's the one with the blanket, he says, "Lucy, God promised Noah in the 9th chapter of Genesis that it would never happen again. The sign of that promise is the rainbow." And Lucy says, "Linus, you sure have taken a great load off my mind." And Linus responds, "Sound theology has a way of doing that." In our gospel reading today, not only are we comforted that Jesus will return and bring us again, or bring us to his Father's house, but he gives us the soundest theology. When he says to his disciples, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Now, unfortunately, this verse has often been used as a trump card, a threat, to tell people that they better get with the program, that they have to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, or they're going to hell. But this statement by Jesus, it is not a threat. It's a promise. He's continuing his words of comfort to the disciples. Jesus is telling them that he himself is all they need. There is no need to panic. There's no need to search desperately for some kind of secret knowledge. There's no need to worry about what happens when he's no longer with them in person. Jesus is communicating to the disciples a comforting theology with three words: way, truth, and life. Now, some of you might accuse me for being too Catholic, because I'm gonna quote the Pope here. I know, in a Lutheran church, how scandalous, huh? But here's what Pope John Paul says about the way, the truth, and the life. He says, "The way of Christ is the way of virtuous, fruitful, and peaceful life as children of God in the same human family. The truth of Christ is the eternal truth of God, who has revealed himself to us not only in the created world, but also through sacred scripture, and especially through his Son, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. And the life of Christ is the life of grace, the free gift of God, which is a created share in his own life, which enables us to live forever in his love. When Christians are truly convinced of this, their lives are transformed, and this transformation results not only in credible and compelling personal witness, but also in an urgent and effective communication. The message of Jesus is meant to be so transforming for the disciple that they can't help but go out and share it with the world. What we hear today is nothing but good news for us. So Dunlap family, you're coming here to baptize Harper. And friends, this isn't a magic act. It's not something that you do and then you walk away relieved because somehow you got some kind of fire insurance. I mean, you're about to make promises at the font before God that to raise up Harper in the Christian faith, to keep her in the fold of God by bringing her to church, to make her a disciple by teaching her the Ten Commandments and the Creed and the Lord's Prayer. You're promising to regularly bring her to communion so that she can be united to Jesus in receiving his body and blood. And we, as Good Shepherd, are acting on behalf of the whole church by doing this today. So back to my grandmother's house. Some of you may have thought while I was telling that story that you could just never live in those conditions with family shoved into every nook and cranny of every livable space on a property. And I totally get that. I totally get that. I wouldn't want that right now for me and my family. But I didn't tell that story so that your desires would come to the surface. I told that story so that you could see God's desires for you to take care of you. See, I know that if my family ever needed to, that house would still be open for us. In fact, my 10 aunts and uncles, 5 aunts, 5 uncles, after my grandmother died, they all got together and agreed that they were going to keep the house and that anyone who is her descendant could live there whenever they needed to. No one would ever be turned away. In fact, I'm willing to bet dollars to donuts that I could go down to San Ysidro today and walk in the door because it's not locked. See, the beauty of Grandma's house isn't whether or not I want it. It's that it's always made available to me. I just have to show up and I'll be welcomed. Jesus is preparing just that kind of place for us. We'll show up. We'll be welcomed. My grandmother's life, it taught me today's gospel reading in a concrete way. Before I ever read the Bible, I read her life. And I am grateful for her as a mothering figure. So friends, may you believe in Jesus. May you be comforted by his promises. And may your lives be the scripture that people read. Amen.